Well, yes, I am Jane Connery and you're on Joy 94.9 and this is Broad Designs on Sunday Arts Magazine, where I talk to women who design and make sure we hear their voices loud and proud. Today my guest is Wendy Fox, designer, illustrator and art director. Her work has been recognised by American Illustration, How, Creative Quarterly, I can't even say that word, Lurz's Archive 200 Best Illustrators, Worldwide, Desktop Magazine and the Society of Illustrators. She is inspired by all the beautiful, clever and humorous things in this world that touch the senses and make us think. Wendy, welcome to Broad Designs.
Thank you. Thanks so much.
So good to have you here. But we're going to start at the very beginning. Here we go. You've said that in your childhood you played cello and danced, which you've said was the most memorable year of your childhood. Why was that?
Well, that was the year I turned 14.
Yes.
I went to a high school performing arts just for 1 year, and it was amazing.
And that was in Melbourne?
No, it was in Sydney. It was the brand new school. It was McDonald College in Sydney. It was new. And I was, in their inaugural year, I was in year 8, and I did about 17 dance classes a week, and I played the cello, and there was some school in there. And it was, it was really wonderful.
And how do you think that sort of arts that touch the senses, like ears and movement, kind of sparked your interest in printed design and more graphic design?
I think that took a long time. I was pretty late to get to the... design. I did a humanities degree. I did a degree in philosophy, and then I still didn't know what I wanted to do. I was interested in film, and then I ended up in New York City. I was waitressing, and I took some classes in drafting and went and did it. Ended up doing an interior design degree.
Is this the 90s?
Yeah, it was in the 90s. I drafted by hand.
So I did read that you left for a 2-week trip to New York and returned home 12 and a half years later.
That is what absolutely happened? Correct. I fell in love with the city and I didn't want to leave, and I was really young and all I had was a backpack.
Nice.
And I could.
Do you think you could still do that now?
No. God, no. No, I did it. I didn't say, oh, I'm going to stay for 12 years, by the way, everybody. It was 2 weeks became a month, became 6 months, you know, and it just went from there. And then before I knew it, I was in a full-time program. Then I got a job. Then I got a husband. Then I had a child, and then I came home.
Oh, my gosh, that is a lifetime over there. I'm pretty jealous, actually. So you did architecture.
I did interior design
there. And you ended up being a designer on a fashion magazine.
I did. So I actually worked in architecture for 4 years, which was great. But I had a lot of love for communication design. I took a lot of extra classes, and then I was very fortunate, and there was a new magazine, Newhurst magazine, starting, and I was senior designer. So that's how I got offered the job and transitioned over. It was very lucky.
Transitioned over to fashion design.
Well, it's editorial design, really.
Beautiful. Yeah. Beautiful. And now you're back in Melbourne doing incredibly inspiring work. Wired magazine featured one of your latest passion projects in their top design stories of 2016. That's pretty good, by the way.
Yeah, that was
Tell us about this project.
So I've been working on this project now for 5 years, I realised, because it was 5 years since the London Olympics when I decided to illustrate all the women who won gold medals.
How many was that?
So for London, it was 276 women.
Holy moly.
Who won gold medals. I think it was a tipping point for me that I was just became profoundly aware of not seeing female athletes represented. Any coverage they do get, very objectifying. And I was also really fast, having grown up dancing and dealing with body image and all that kind of stuff, I became, I just was really amazed watching how different the extremities are of body types that can play sport. And I thought, well, we need to show this. Nobody shows it. Nobody talks about it. Let's represent them. So I did this, it took me 2 years. I did it for London. It got quite a lot of really great coverage and recognition.
And so it's all together on a poster.
Yes, I did a poster and a website for London. And then I decided to do it again for Rio. So I raised money for Rio so I could do it again. I did a Kickstarter, which I ran during the Olympics, which was great because everyone wants to give coverage to you when it's during the Olympics. So I was able to raise the money and this time do a book as well. So for Rio, there were 293 women who won gold medals. So there's a poster, a website and a book. And the book also gets into, it explores skills for sport. It includes all the sports that women play in the Olympics. And it also gets into a lot of history of women's involvement in the Olympics.
So for people that don't know, you drew with them all in Illustrator, Adobe Illustrator.
Yes.
Click by click. Every little line is one click, then the next click.
Yep.
It's very time consuming.
It was so time consuming. The first five are really fun and then after that it's like push-ups.
So the Olympic coverage, which you mentioned, does have real issues with sexism. This includes an Olympic commentator crediting Hungarian swimmer Katarina Hozu's husband with her gold medal, media outlets prioritising male athlete success over females, and male panellists on Fox News talking, saying female Olympians should wear makeup when they're competing. How is your project changing these sort of ideas and thoughts?
I'm hoping, well, for one thing, I'm giving equal coverage. I'm representing every sport the same way, because even within the coverage at the Olympics, which is one of the only times you actually see female sport being covered to begin with, there's a preference for what are considered the more feminine sports, which would be gymnastics, swimming, diving, beach volleyball. It's a big one. And they're given a lot more coverage. So you get all these other sports like shooting and weightlifting, and the more masculine-seeming sports that women do participate in aren't covered nearly as much. So I wanted to completely equalise that. I've chosen a very sort of specific vector style of illustrating it's universally engaging, but I think it's visually engaging for everybody, and it completely eliminates this objectifying.
It makes
very informational data. And there hasn't really been a lot of collection of data of female athletes. It's all of men. That's also because women didn't participate in the Olympics to begin with either. That's been a really gradual inclusion.
What year would have they started?
They were in the 1900 Olympics, which was the second Olympic Games, but there was hardly any of them, and then you played a couple of sports. It was very token, and it was very white and upper class and, you know, country club.
You're getting a history lesson now this year. So you continue to get recognition for this Olympics project. What did it mean winning Best in Show at the Howe International Design Awards?
It meant I got to go to the States.
Yes.
And go to a really fun conference and meet some really amazing people. Yep. And they gave me an award. It was mind-blowing, really.
The experience, I mean, we've had a chat about this. What has that meant for your career in Melbourne? Has it had an effect?
No. Mm. not really. I don't know.
It's disappointing.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know that it has. I mean, maybe down the road it will, because it feels like a bit like a resume item, something to put on your CV.
I think this is one of the reasons why I kind of have this project, this radio segment, talking to women like yourself, is this whole idea of authorship for designers is difficult. We don't really know who's behind the things we see in the cultural arena, and often that extra layer of invisibility is being a woman. So I love that you've put yourself out there and your project out there, and you have got international recognition, because it does, I think it makes an impact. So there's interest in the project becoming a book, and I did read that it's been endorsed, or the project's been endorsed, by the NATO Special Representative for Women, Peace and Security. Hello. More impressive stuff. How did you manage
they didn't,
that?
I don't know that they tweeted about the project. Well, when I was doing the Kickstarter, and it was getting quite a lot of coverage from places like Wired and Upworthy had written a piece about it, and then, you know, and then they all, you know, write about it, then they put it on their social media feeds, and I guess somebody from NATO's chapter for women saw it, and so then they, you know, started tweeting about it, and they called it a great initiative, which was really lovely.
Fantastic.
That was pretty cool.
Yeah. Shows the huge need for this sort of, again, representation of the female body.
Well, that's what I've heard over and over again, and Heidi Stevens, who has a column in the Chicago Tribune, she's written about it twice now. She wrote about it when I released it in 2014, and then again last year. So it's been kind of interesting to see her follow the conversation, turn it into a second thing as a need to, you know, show some role models for girls that are inspiring and don't look like Victoria's Secret models.
Well, we'll keep going. One last question. We lost the great Australian athlete Betty Cuthbert this past week. Oh, and we're going to talk about this in a minute because we're just going to go to a message.
Okay.
Hi, this is Jane Connery and you're on Broad Designs on Sunday Arts Magazine on Joy 94.9. And I'm talking with Wendy Fox. Hello again, Wendy.
Hi, Jane.
We were just talking about your fantastic project that looks at women gold medalists in the Olympics, both London and Rio. And as I mentioned just before those messages, we lost the great Australian athlete Betty Cuthbert this past week, past fortnight. According to Wikipedia, she is the only Olympian, male or female, to have won a gold medal in all sprint running events, 100, 200 and 400 metres. That is something I had no idea, that we had an Australian who'd done that, let alone a woman, which is incredible. I mean, I don't really follow sport, but can you imagine the data visualisations that could go on about her career alone? Like,
well, that's right, but it'd also be interesting if this data had been collected on all the women, because this was, she was 18 in the Melbourne Olympics in 1956. So what'd be interesting would be to see the data of her and everyone she competed against and compare it to now.
Yes, what did women look like at that time?
Well, they'd be more just your typical, more the average looking athlete, which has changed quite a bit. And you wouldn't have that now. You wouldn't have somebody win the 100 and 400 metres. Quite different physicality, and those two sports require two different things. Like Usain Bolt would never run a 400 metre.
No.
He wouldn't do it. It'd be such a completely different approach to training.
So this whole idea of having comparative data is amazing. Are you going to keep going? Where is your project going to go next?
I'd like to, but I've got to figure out how to get the whole thing funded. But I think it'd be so interesting and useful to keep. It gets more interesting if it's done over time, because then you get the comparisons. I mean, I've done it twice. It's a big undertaking.
It's huge. And what do the extremes look like? Like, who would be the shortest and who would be the tallest?
Well, basically what's happened as sport started getting a lot more media coverage over the over the course of the 20th century, the biggest changes that happened were, you know, it becomes monetized and basically, you know, you move into the world of professional sport. So the way the sort of sports scientists refer to it is the small got smaller, the large got larger and the weird got weirder. So you have the gymnasts have all gotten smaller. It's just become more and more specialised. So you're not going to have, you know, basketball players that are short. It's not going to happen. I think in the 20s you had, even in, you know, with the men, the guys who sprinted and did high jump were practically the same height and weight as the shot putters, whereas now there's about 130-pound, you know, about a 60-kilo weight difference. So that's what you're seeing in this understanding of body types and physiology, very, very in-depth, and it will probably continue. And there's all the technology that goes with it.
But that's, again, the positive message, isn't it, that the range of body types and capabilities, there's somewhere where everyone can achieve.
Well, and the poster from the 50s would look very different than the poster now in terms of differences in body type. There'd be so many more on it now, which is great. It's a great thing.
And we're talking about you and I working together on our collaboration and curating a show where we look at what does feminist data look like. I think this is the interesting thing about combining data visualization and graphic design and filling in the holes of where it's never existed before. Do you think that's what feminist data looks like?
But there's a lot of holes. We could go back and fill it in. Yes, I would say so. And whenever you hear those stories of people gone back in time, going back and looking at the history of stories of women and all that, they're like, I never knew any of this because it hasn't been documented in the same way.
Yes. One last question maybe. You know, you've studied overseas, you've worked overseas, studied here, worked here. What advice would you have for people sort of looking for a career change or studying design or trying to make their way into the industry?
Wow.
Do it.
I think there's a lot. I think there's so many more jobs in design now than there were. There's so many more things to do in design than there used to be. I mean, it's changing and it's a big responsibility, but I think study the humanities. Ask the questions. I think being more and more culturally aware, things like studying anthropology is probably one of the smartest things you can do, because I think it's going to be more and more about people and what we all need. It's a lot of big problems that we've created that need solving and need designers to do it.
Designers are a tool for the big, big, wicked problems.
Yeah, I think it's a pretty great tool. But I do think there needs to be an open mind about what to do and what you want out of it. Mm. I don't know that, you know, I feel like there's a lot of celebrity of design at the moment and the world of Instagram fueling that. I don't know if that's, you know, the thing to focus on. I feel like that's a little bit problematic, but for lots of different reasons. But I think an open mind.
I was reading exciting reading on a Sunday afternoon, Creative Victoria's latest report, and it talks about design as decoration and then up the ladder design as innovation. And it really is this whole idea that design isn't just making things pretty, but it's addressing a problem and using the skills to be a thinker.
Yeah, and it's also knowing what the problems are that need to be addressed in the first place and sort of finding those. I mean, this was just a simple idea essentially, but I, you know, in exploring this as an idea, it was, you know, a pretty big problem, basically, like the branding of women in sport. So, yeah.
Do you play sport?
No, I don't. I'm a total outsider.
I think that's the problem, isn't it, with designers? We're not a lot of people interested in sport as well as design, but I'm so glad that you've sort of found this niche for your work.
And I wish I had played sport as a teenager, so I think maybe that has something to do with it.
Yeah. Is there anything else you want to tell me about the project before we head off today?
Well, I'm hoping, I'm exploring that it get turned into a published book as opposed to a self-published book that isn't specific to the Olympics, that it will include all the sport that women play. It'll include the winter sports as well, because this is just the Summer Olympics, obviously, but things like skateboarding, roller derby, climbing, netball, cricket. And then I've even thought about doing one, I think it would be a separate project though, but doing one for the Paralympics. Mm. Or the para-athletes, I should say, because it's not going to be Olympics. But I think that'd be interesting. That's a whole other thing, though.
Well, if you're out there and you're a student vector guru and you want to help Wendy in that project, I'm sure she'd love to hear from you.
Yes.
She needs a help. Well, thank you so much for your time this afternoon, Wendy.
Thanks, Jane.
Your voice is an important one in industry. You care that women in sport are visually represented to show their physical achievements, strengths and skills, not just their sex appeal and Instagram ability. Your work is important and your career is an inspiration. Thank you again, David and Brendan and Neil, for sharing your show with me. I'm Jane Connery and you're listening to Broad Designs on the Sunday Arts Magazine on Joy 94.9.